Father in heaven, we thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love, Lord. We thank you for this wonderful day that as we gather together in Christ's wonderful name, we thank you for your presence. We just thank you, Father, for all things, O Lord, that happens in our life. The ups and the downs, the sideways, O Lord, when things are blowing around us, we may be tossed here to and fro, but Lord, we are not destroyed, Father. We may be cast down, Father, by the pressures and the things of this world and the problem that we face, O Lord, but we are not destroyed. We thank you, Father. We thank you for your grace that upheld us, O Lord. They hold us, O Father, even this present moment and looking forward, O Lord, to the day that we will see Christ face to face. We know you'll still be there with us. Father, we commit now to you the understanding of thy word. And the Lord, what we look forward, O Lord, in thy holy word is that it will strengthen us, Father, and nourish us in this journey, Father, until we see Christ Jesus come. We look to you, Father, for thy blessing today in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Let's just go and look at the chart once again. The 17th week of Daniel. And we want to go to our book of Revelation chapter 8 and 12 and finish off these seven trumpets. Okay? We have done here with the first three trumpets, but then let's quickly recap in the first perhaps 10 minutes, but just look at the chart once again. Now, as I said, we are dealing with the seven trumpets. There are three trumpets in this beginning of the first 3.5 years, and then the fourth trumpet is blown in the midst of the 17th week of Daniel to bring forth the three woes pertaining to the fifth, sixth, and seventh trumpet. Alright, so let us go quickly now to chapter 8 once again and give a recap on this. Now we see in the first verse 1, 2, 3, and 4, where John had this next series of vision, where he found the angel standing before stood at the altar, that is the incense altar, which was placed before the throne of God in heaven, having a golden censer. And in the censer there was given to him much incense, together with the prayer of the saints, for the past sins, in a way all the way back to the present day of John, and even as to the future, even our days, because this vision pertains to something that is yet to come. So all this were given to him, and he mixed that incense and the prayer of the saints with a fire that was taken from the brazen altar, or the altar of sacrifice. And mixed it together, he took all this in that one golden censer, and the angel cast it down to the earth. And that will show that this will be the final time that God is going to deal with mankind before the Lord Jesus comes and sit down as King of Kings and Lord of Lords to rule this earth. And we see that, of course, the incense was to appease God. And the prayer of the saints is to remind the Lord of his people that are left on this earth. How that when he deal with the children of Israel or deal with the saints, they will be there, that he should deal with them with grace and with mercy. Because of the sacrifice, because of the fire that was brought from the brazen altar of sacrifice, well, how that Jesus had gone through much suffering for us. And so this is to appease God in the final judgment when the golden censer is cast down. In that time, there will be no more prayer accepted to God. That is to say, that all that which has been offered to God is to be a reminder of what God should do for the children of Israel and for those that are left behind. So now in that way, we see in the first trumpet, and verse 6, here that the seventh angel, the seventh trumpet, began to prepare themselves to sound. Now in the fifth verse, of course, we see that it says that when the censer was cast down, there was voices and thundering and lightning, which of course, again, I want you to be aware, when you see the word voices, lightning and thundering, it always talks about God's voices, God's message still going out, thundering forth through his messengers. Lightning was usually a form of a fire. Alright? It purged And as well, lightning also means that it illuminates, will bring out something for the people that are left behind. Lightning also, in a sense, means quick work as well. And that is an earthquake that showed that there will be a shaking. Whether it is spiritual or earthly shaking, in this last 70th week of Daniel, you realize that there is a lot of phenomena on this earth, as well as phenomena that are going to happen, cosmic phenomena, cosmic disturbances in the heavens. Alright, so some angel now prepared to sound, and in the first trumpet, in verse 7, the first angel sounded, and therefore hail, fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the first and the third part of the tree were burnt up, and all green grass were burnt up. This is not just a earthly terrestrial disturbances per se, as you will see here, hail, as the hailstone with fire. Of course, that is the image you get, some, as I said before, when you watch some of these movies that are made Bible story, you know, film that they make, that they will always have this, they will always show this, what do you call, hailstone, you know, coming down, and they create fire on top of it. Alright, but the word hail is a form of a word that comes from a root word, means to lower. Something that is lower down from heaven, whether it's a big torrential rain, or whether it's literal hailstones, or whatever. Okay? And that is a mingle with fire. Now, and fire mingled with blood. Now we know that these are all descriptions. As I said, if you talk about fire mingled with blood, if blood means red. So, there are phenomena that happens in when there is some type of volcanic eruption. Maybe I go to Hawaii, you probably have seen that. And all those stones that are around the volcano, when they cannot erupt, these stones will be blown up, and of course it's hot, and sometimes you land it and you can see that there are fire around that piece of stones. And of course, because it's hot, it looks red like blood. Okay, and also perhaps it's also the particles that is around the volcano that create that kind of a look. Okay, so now whether it is per se, as we look at here, that there will be hail coming down, or whether there will be this volcanic eruption to bring this kind of a phenomenon. But the thing here, that the description here is to depict God's mercy and grace when He deals with the children of Israel, because of that blood substance which pertains to light. Because in the following next clause or phrase of the verse, and the top part of the trees will burn up, and all green trees will burn up. So nobody's saying in the first trumpet sounding is that when these two witnesses go out there in Israel to start to prophesy, they, like Elijah will call for rain, or he will stop the rain from falling. Is that right? And Moses will create all those hailstone stuff and blood stuff, as you will see in the book of Exodus that you read about. Alright, so what will happen in this first trumpet when the witnesses, two witnesses go forth to minister, it is that they will create some phenomenon on the earth in such that there will be drought, there will be heavy rainfall, and where crops will be destroyed. Do you understand that? Okay? Because that's what he says, that the tree will be burnt up and the green grass will burn up. So much so, if there is going to be a great drought, there's no rain to come. Alright, and the earth is shaking. There will be probably some volcanic action or not, we do not know. But the way, as I said, we describe here, that the grass will dry up. And you know, when you see that when there is a drought and there is no rain and the weather is extremely hot, okay, what will happen to the grass? It will turn brown and perhaps easily catch fire. Right? When the wind blows and, you know, this fine little dry grass or twigs or whatever, it's looking into a fire. Okay, this is what you would describe when the two witnesses go out to get to witness. And then we come to the second trumpet in verse 8 and 9. And the second angel sounded, and as it was a great mountain burning with fire, it was cast into the sea. Again here, you always notice there's always fire. Fire. The first three trumpets deals with the ministry of the two witnesses. Alright? And you always will be fire, because fire is a form of language we talk about in purging. Right? You understand? Fire is purged. One of the understanding of types in general. So the second angel sounded, and there was a great mountain burning with fire. This great mountain, some people have always interpreted that it is a meteorite, alright, coming down and on fire like a what we call a comet, okay, and hitting the earth and plunging into the sea. Alright, but in the language as we see here, that the great mountain represents a system. Remember the book of Zerubbabel, oh great mountain, before Zerubbabel you'll be cast down, dig lower, and so forth. So this great mountain talks about, in this time of the 70th week of Daniel, you will realize when the two witnesses come upon the scene, they are not only just prophesying to Israel, but they are prophesying also against the system. You remember that? They are also prophesying against that system. Because when we go into the fourth trumpet, you know about the three wolves, how Satan works, alright, to bring about all this deception, impersonating God's word, impersonating God's religion, so to speak, alright, or God's own way of dealing with God, his people, how Satan came along and pervert that and impersonate that to deceive people and draw them away from God. So this great mountain will be set on fire. So this is a depiction how that the prophets, the two prophets, come and begin to prophesy against that system, bringing it down and judging it, purging it, all right, burning it up. And it cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. Of course, in this language also, it shows us something. Something is going to happen out there in the sea. When the two prophets begin to preach against the system, they will also begin to judge the whole of that Middle East region. Judge Israel. Bring all these signs to come to pass because the Israel, the nation of people, they are aware of their own prophet in the Old Testament. They know what happened in the day of Elijah, what Elijah did. They also know what happened in the day of Moses, what Moses did. So they will know all this phenomena that is coming. Remember how Moses went out there to preach, prophesied against Pharaoh. Remember, when he prophesied against Pharaoh, condemning him for making the children of Israel slaves, something happened also when he began to preach against Pharaoh, right? He began to damage his sign. Elijah, the same thing, went out there against all those Baal systems. He preached against them, then he called fire down from heaven. Remember that? So this is what the two prophets would do. They would be preaching against the system, they'll be warning about Israel, and at the same time they'll perform some miracles and some signs that the children of Israel would be aware of. And even the Pharaoh saw all those miracles, and the Baal prophets, they saw all that, they realized that Yahweh is God. You understand that? So when Israel received that and saw those, see those signs, they would know. When the system, the Babylonian system, see those signs, they would know. You understand? That these two prophets, they are not just ordinary men. They are men sent from God. Right? So down, this second trumpet when it's blown, and as the prophets, two prophets preach against the system, they say in verse 9, the third part of the creature which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ship were destroyed. So something happened out there in the ocean. Alright, it says the sea. Now first trumpet was on land. The land all got burned up, dried up, no rain or whatever happened to it that would destroy the crop. And so men would have top up when you have trees gone, the fruit trees, your grass, maybe whatever is in the field, your plant will also be destroyed. Okay, but now there is one third part of the sea out there, you know, would turn red, and the fish there, one third part of the fish died. Because of their red tide. Okay? And the shipping, and the sheep, they will be destroyed by that algae also. So now in the third trumpet, verse 10 and 11. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven again. Yet right now here, the great star here is not a star as somebody says, a comet or whatever, huh? But here is also a language to tell us something, that there is only about one great star. And that great star that we know that fell from heaven was Lucifer. Okay, so now here is a picture to show you what these two prophets are doing. Preaching against Israel, warning them, preaching against the system, preaching against what Satan did and what happened. So now it says that this great star that is with them, burning as it were a lamp, burning, that means on fire. And it's now Satan is going to be judged. And we know that Satan knows that he has but a short time. And God allows him to do what he has to do, what he will do. But this is the language that says that Satan now is going to be judged. Alright? And he fell upon the third part of the river and upon the fountain of the water. Now whatever the two witnesses preach, it's going to show sign again. Now this time the sign is not on the land or the sea, but now it's upon the rivers and fountains. Out there in the mountains and the valley. You know, spring water, whatever, right? Those that are fresh water, people drink from. Okay, you don't drink water from the sea, you can't. Unless you desalinize it. Is that the word? Alright? So, this is going to fall upon those fresh water, and the name of the star is called Wormwood, which means bitter. Bitter. And the third part of the water became bitter, Wormwood. And many men die of the waters because they were made bitter. Okay, now because they were in Israel and the people out there, you know the Bible, now we know that when we look into this future event that is going to happen, all the event that is going to happen, after the church is raptured, after the bride is gone, almost all the phenomenal and the activities and the prophecy that are activated by then, they'll all happen in the Middle East and what about Europe? All those land that were once upon a time biblical world. Do you understand? Okay? Now Asia's side was not much involved back then at all. Right? Except that you know in the history of Thomas, after he took the gospel, he went over to India, that's about it. Okay, but most of what we see in the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, all right, is all revolved around Middle East and Europe. You understand? Ethiopia, okay? Alright, so now what we see then is this is the spirit of calamity, because wormwood means bitter. And Satan, in his fall, began to become an adversary of God because of his bitterness, so he became an adversary of God to undermine the plan and the purpose of God. So now mankind are suffering. The water turns bitter. So one third of water turns bitter in that region. So just imagine you don't have fresh water, you don't have how to survive. So in the first 3.5 years, with all the phenomena going on, now you have a problem. Okay? Alright, now we go to the fourth trumpet in verse 12. And the fourth trumpet sound, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the star. So as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for the third part of it, and the night likewise. Now the first three trumpets, you realize that it doesn't affect the rest of the world. But the fourth trumpet will affect the rest of the world. Because right here he says that a third part of the sun was smitten. Now how God is going to deal with that sun is such that one third part of the day on this earth will be really cold. Because when the sun is smitten, there's no heat. And when you don't have heat, it's cold. And the plant is going to suffer. Your vegetable is going to suffer. Your fruit is going to suffer. Especially the vineyard, huh? Those people who plant the grapes for making wine, they're going to suffer. They might get frost or whatever it is. That may be. Now, if a top part of the sun is smitten, the moon also is smitten, the star is also smitten, particularly one top part of the day, there's no light. And it's going to be very cold. Is that alright? Isn't it? Yes, it. So with that phenomenon going on in all the world, because the earth is going to turn and the sun is there, because the whole world is going to revolve or rotate around its own axis, and it's going to revolve around the sun. So just imagine that one third part of the day and night. Okay? Alright. Now this fourth trumpet, that sound, it will be God's final warning to Israel. Because when you look at this that is to come, He is going to prepare Israel for the next 3.5 years. Let's look at the chart so that you can still have an image and understanding of it. Alright? So when the fourth trumpet sound, it will be in the midst of the 70th week of Daniel. So the first 3.5 years would have gone. So when the fourth trumpet sound, it will be preparing Israel that what is to come now, this will be the dark period. This will be a time of really much darkness, like it was in the days of the great persecution in the Dark Ages. In the Dark Age, when the Catholic rules Europe, or what we call the then-known world of that time, alright? Before America was discovered for that matter, okay? And Catholicism rules that part of the world and killed 68 million people, whether you are a Protestant or not. As long as you reject the system, you don't bow down to that system, they will take you and they'll wreck you apart, alright? Or they burn you alive, the same. So that, now this is going to be the 3.5 years of great tribulation, a time of Jacob's trouble, as the Bible calls it in the book of Jeremiah chapter 30 verse 7. Okay, so what is that going to be? Because in verse 13, now let's go. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound." Remember, now the fourth trumpet blown, the earth is, the sun is smitten, okay, that the earth will have only a two-third part of light, but one-third part there will be darkness and there will be extreme cold. So when that fourth trumpet is blown, it also brings about these three woes. Okay? And because John saw when the trumpet was blown, he also beheld these flangers flying through the midst of the heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe." You know what the woe, what is a woe? A woe is a calamity, a disaster, a curse. Something bad is about to happen. Okay, then he says to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet. Now, remember this thing here. Here you have been a problem when it comes to Bible understanding. And I know that it's very difficult. If people can be tossed to and fro, theologians, Bible students, trying to really understand what the meaning of this and that, and wreck their head and wreck their brain, you know, and try to understand. Now, it says here, voices of the trumpet. Alright. By reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels. Now, it did not, the wording is such that it did not say that the other voices of the angels. It is not. It says the voices of the trumpet. Now, that is why we have Ewart Franke from Germany. He believed that Revelation 10 has nothing to do with the bride. It deals only with Israel. Because in the verse, in Revelation chapter 10 verse 7, "But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound," to him he says that this is the seventh trumpeting angel. Now I want you to look at it just to make you understand. If you look at Revelation chapter 10 and verse 7, it says, "In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound." Okay, to him it is that the Bible is saying, in the days of the voice of the seventh trumpeting angel, when he begins to blow his trumpet, to sound his trumpet. That is what he's saying. Now, and I said this once, and I said this, let me just make you understand. The word sound in the Bible means to call somebody's attention. You sound for something. Whether you're honking your car or you're blowing your trumpet. Is that right? Now when you horn a car, for example, let's say, do you know that when you horn a car, the way you horn a car is telling somebody about what you're trying to tell them. You agree with that? Paw paw is one thing. You know, bah! That's a different thing. Is that right? You understand? You see, when you show a frustration and you press on, blah blah, you just put your hand up, and you know, people look at you and say, why are you strong with you? You want to have a fight or something? When you are somebody is walking and he's not aware, you pop up, just make him aware, right? You see? So he will not get angry with you. So the same thing with a trumpet. A trumpet has a certain sound. And people, if you don't know how to blow a trumpet, you just, you know how the friend, you have a, you know, how, you know you're gonna, purse your lip, or how you make your lip, you know, how to, in order to pop that tube. I don't know whether Brother Kerman know how to blow a trumpet or not, but you know, if you don't know how to blow a trumpet, it's gonna happen, it's hard. But when you blow a trumpet, you know, in the army, as I say, in American cavalry days, you know, and those are soldier horses. And then when they blow a trumpet, there is a certain sound. Even today, when a soldier is laid to rest, there is a certain kind of blowing of the trumpet. Is that right? So the same thing as we see here, that when the Bible said sound, all seven church age messengers, remember one thing, they have a voice. A trumpet do not have an usher. Though they are, the trumpet, when they blow, they give a certain voice. Voice means a message. There's something it is telling you something. But only the seven church age messenger has the utterance. So he says in verse 7 of chapter 10, in the days of the voice of the seven angel, when he shall begin to sound. In the days of the voice of the seven angel, when he shall begin to make known his message. But here in chapter 8, verse 30, he says, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet. Now, the voice of the trumpet is that when somebody blows a trumpet, there is no utterance. Do you understand? Do you understand what I'm saying? There's no utterance. It's only a message to come up from the trumpeting. Whereas the seven church ages, the seven church age messenger, when they sound, they have an utterance. Their voice, they utter something that is understandable to your own your hearing. A message, a trumpet, give a message, but you must need to understand what the message means. Do you understand that? So when he said the voices give an utterance, the trumpet give a sound. Okay? And the sound carries an information. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? Whereas the utterances, when they are uttered, they give you information and detail to your own ears and understanding in your ear. Okay, so it's a lot of different. So when people look in the Bible, they will say, okay, now, in chapter 10, verse 7, it must be that the angel is blowing trumpet. He said the days of the voice, okay, the voice, the utterance, is different from just a message that comes from a sounding of a trumpet. Okay? Alright. Okay, here we have the three wolves now. Pertaining to, of course, as you say here, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which were yet to sound. So that is the fifth trumpet, the sixth and the seventh trumpet. And this will be all blown in the second half of the 70th week of Daniel. Okay, in the book of Daniel, chapter 9, verse 27, go to it, and you understand that when these three words come, that is to say that when these three trumpets are blown, it will fulfill the prophecy of Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. Okay, Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation that determines shall be poured upon the desolator. Okay, so now there is 5th, 6th, and 7th trumpet will fulfill the 2.5 years. And it will be the great tribulation, or the known as Jacob's trouble. Now, the first war. Now, the first war comes with the blowing of the fifth trumpet, and is found in the book of Revelation, chapter 9, 1 to 2, 1 to 12. But let us look at verse 1 of the next chapter. Chapter 9. Alright? And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Oh. So now, the first war coming. John saw it in this vision. What the angel, what happened when the angel blew the fifth trumpet? Now, I can tell you one thing. When the fourth trumpet is blown, when the sun began to become darker for one third part of the day, immediately with that phenomenon, the fifth angel blew the trumpet. I can tell you one thing, if people who are living by that wish that they would die. They would rather die. But the problem is that death will not be around for you to die, for you to find. Death will escape you. It will be, as the Bible says, there will be such a tribulation that people have never faced it before, not even in their dark age. Alright? So, he said here, I saw a star fall from heaven. Now remember, a star from heaven, again, it is not what we call a celestial star. It is actually an angel. The Bible here tells us that. Okay, a star fall from heaven, and unto him was given the key at the bottom of the pit. Right. So here it is very clear here that you don't need any interpretation that the star must be an angel. It has to be. When the Bible said a star would, you know, like we read earlier, the other one about the star that light up like a lamp falling onto the sea, right? Upon the fountains of the rivers on this earth, you realize that he was given a name called Wormwood. So you realize that it has to do with spirit, that is an angel. So he's still pointing to, because now we are seeing God final dealing with Israel and mankind before Christ come upon the scene and set up his kingdom. Do you understand? He's pointing all this problem to Lucifer, the fallen angel, and how did he create that system, religion, impersonating God to blind the eyes of the people. Okay? So, now, here was this vision that was shown to John as to how Satan works to destroy the people of God and mankind spiritually. Now, when you're a person is, let me tell you this. If a person is deceived religiously into a religion, do you know that he is in great torment? Because he is a slave to religion. You understand? You know that, don't you? You look at even in pagan religion itself. People will go to the temple very often. When their children are sick, they start to buy this and offer an offering to their gods, to their idols, to their deities. Is that alright? They are slaves. They go to the temple and have the fortune teller or the priest or whatever the medium, whoever he is, would give you some tarot card to read about, your son is, whether your child is going to survive or your grandson is going to survive or not out of the sickness that he is suffering. And he will be there, and the person who is trapped in that, and the same thing in Catholicism, you are trapped in that. And you have to go to the confession box and the priest will hear your confession and he will tell you, okay, now you have this is a venial sin, a mortal sin, or whatever, and ask you to say your grace, a Hail Mary 5 times, 10 times, and give some offerings to this and that, do some good work. You become a slave, you are tormented. And some people have come to the place, they are a whole lot of torment. Now, if you ever read that book, I mentioned about that book called 50 Years in the Church of Rome by Father Charles Cheneke. It's a very thick book, as thick as your Bible. years in the Church of Rome, he described the torment of those believers in Catholicism. Terrible. You read about it, you will cry. And I could not help crying because of what I read. It's just unbelievable. People are so trapped. Young girls are trapped. And they were caught into fornication or some sexual affair. And the priest wanted to hear all the dirty story from the mouth of this woman, from the mouth of this young girl who was drawn and deceived by men into sexual act. And the priest wanted to hear it. Every detail. You can believe that? You bet. And the girl said, how can I do that? You know, she prayed. She did what the Catholic Church told her to do. But she couldn't bring that thing out to a mere man in a box. She was tormented. Father Charles Jenneke, 50 years in the Church of Rome, have seen all these things. That's why he left the Catholic Church and blasted against the Church. People are tormented under that deception. Do you understand that? So what we see here in the big trumpet, to him, to Satan, was given a key. And people say, well, it can't be. So on this whole chapter of chapter 9, it's all about the bottomless pit. What John was showing us to see how that Satan was doing something that causes all this problem and it's going to be judged. See? What's he given? The key. You know what the key represents? The key is something to unlock. It's an authority. Remember what Jesus said to Peter? Yeah? Upon this I'll build my church. And I'll give you the keys. It's the right to the king. And on the day of Pentecost, Peter took one key and unlocked it. The authority to open and shut, to unfold the truth. You see. So Satan had a key. Jesus has a key. Remember? Ragana, yes. He also has a key. The key of David. Remember? Right. Well, he will sit upon the king, the throne of David, King David in Jerusalem, and he will judge the world. He will buy whom he will buy and lose whom he will lose. You see. Satan had the key authority. It was given to him. He doesn't have what it was given to him. He don't own it. God gave it to him. Of course God gave it to him. Who else gave it to him? Do whatever you want, Satan. What do you want to do? The job, do it. But don't you touch his flesh and kill him. Right? Don't take his life. Do whatever you want to. You see. And you have this key to build your kingdom. Sure. Do whatever you want. But you cannot deceive my people. Obviously. Right? And the Bible said it was a bottomless pit. You know what a pit is? Every pit has a bottom. It must have some. You jump into a pit, you have to land on the bottom. But this is a bottomless pit. There's no bottom. And there's, of course, no such pit in the world. You ever find a hole where you can look down and see the other side of the world? No such a thing. Bottomless pit means there's no support. No, never ending. When you fall into it, you'll keep falling. You understand? When you fall into this pit of Satan, you'll never be able to get out. Never be able to get out. You keep on falling. You know? Do you understand that? So, that is one of the things the Bible describes. Because the kingdom of Christ has a foundation. Or the kingdom of God, we will say, has a foundation. And that foundation is Christ. But the kingdom of Satan has no foundation. What is Satan building for you? For those who follow him? Nothing. It's just an endless darkness and a chasm. And the beast. They keep on going down. Down. You understand it? Okay? So now, let's go on, and it says, let's go to the book of Revelation. Let's just go to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, and in this whole of chapter 21, what do we see in this chapter 21 all the way to chapter 22, verse 5. You will read here in chapter 21 about the new heaven, new earth, and the Bible said in verse 20, in verse 3, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Right? And John was shown that this tabernacle of God is none other than, in verse 9 it says, come, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit of the great and high mountain and showed me the great city, holy city, New Jerusalem. Having the glory of God. Remember, having the glory of God. Remember this word now. Having the glory of God. And the 12 gates, in verse 12 says, 12 gates, and then in verse 14, and 12 foundation. You understand? And in verse 18, the city was pure gold and light unto clear crystal, describing the glory of God. Gold means the divinity of it, the purity of it, the sanctity of it. Remember, you are the bride of Christ. You are the holy city in New Jerusalem in the making. You understand, right? Do you understand that? You are part and parcel of the holy city, New Jerusalem, in the making. And you are you're supposed to be purged. Remember that Abraham was purged through the fire and come out as pure gold. God is doing that to you. Because the holy city has to be pure. And like glass, transparent. Glass, crystal, no impurities. You ever see people, you know, in the pub, you see those people, bartender, when they wash the glass and wipe with a towel, huh? And they will look at and see whether any dirty hand prints there or anything dirty, right? They want to make it real crystal, clear crystal, make it real clean. Not only do we look at pure gold and shine like pure gold, but we are still transparent. The whole city is transparent, clean, like glass. So this is what we see as the holy city, New Jerusalem now. But as far as the Satan's kingdom is concerned, its impersonation is not nowhere like what the looks like the real thing. But he has imprisoned the rumors look like it. Not only what we see in the Catholic system, but we see also in Pentecostal, Charismaticism. Do you remember Jim Baker? Well, what he says, he wants to build the holy city in New Jerusalem. Huh? And people have all this strange idea. And when I observe what has been going on in the past several years, I have seen the same spirit Satan only have crept into the churches, into Pentecostal, into Charismaticism. It has crept into the entire message churches. And that's why we see our internet messengers doing the same. Over in Zambia, I have been there in that particular church. I've been there, I think, two times or three, I think. But the last time when I was there, I saw what the church was going through under the pastor. He has turned himself from the message into charismaticism. Always dressed, very well dressed. God wants you to be rich. God is prosperous. I must, as a preacher, I must dress like God has blessed me. You mean to say that you must dress like a king to look like a Christian? And you have to dress like a businessman in a $300-$400 suit and a shoe that is a Chilene or Paria or Prada or whatever you want to call that, that is worth $3,000-$4,000? Who's going to look at your shoe? Huh? Who's going to look at your belt? That is made of whatever high. That is $1,000 with a name, with somebody, some famous person, some brand of goods. We know we have a lot of things, we buy a lot of brand of goods today. But these are not just brand of goods, they are branded ones. Real branded ones. It is one of its own kind. Your bag is made only one of its own kind. My bag is also one of its own kind. There are no two that look alike, isn't it? Is that right? Do you think your shirt looks alright? The same? He may have the same pattern, but look closely, they are not the same. You agree with that? There's nothing alike, it's also one of his kind, let me tell you. And he has one of my kind. And you are one of your own kind. mercy. But they want to have all these things. Oh, that's like God. God is rich. God is a multimillionaire. You must realize that God wants to bless you. The wealth of the world belongs to the saints of God. The Bible said so. So you must have it. Glory. The Bible said that God prosper you in what? In money? Prosper you in the spiritual wealth and physical health. Be contented with what you have. Because people are never satisfied with money. They have a million, they want another million. They have 2 million, they want 4 million. They have 4 million, they want 8 million. And that's what it is all about. That's what Satan has fooled people. Come into the church in the end time message. Right then in Zambia, that's why I don't want to go back. This problem is happening over there, Hawaii, I know, in Manila. It happened also in India. Things are happening. You know, let us be simple. I don't think that the disciples of Jesus Christ, when they were with Jesus Christ, they all dressed real well. Huh? When Jesus fellowship with them, he called them, well, maybe Peter just caught a whole boat, a whole load of boat of fish, you know. Right? And of course, Peter was not just alone. He has also others that are working with him. Peter, James, and John are there. Maybe there are others who are not even believers of Jesus, right? And Peter came onto the shore, started counting the fish, and started separating the fish. Fish it, smell it. And Jesus says, come on, let's go and fellowship. And leave it in the basket. And ask his partner, I'm going to count the sheep, count the fish and take it to the market and sell them. Leave it and go. Right? Not you, tax collector. I don't know how clean he is, you know, up there in the gate down there with his table collecting tax. You know, money has a smell. If you count the money too, you know, you need to start counting money every day. You have money smell in your finger. And nice too, because there's a lot of bacteria also. Jesus come, make it come. And they'll come together, sit down there. Common people will sit down. Then he said, oh Lord, let me go home and take a bath and shower with some in a spa, some kind of perfume on me and dress nice so that I don't smell so bad. You think Christ is interested in all that thing? Whatever you are, simple and just as I am, the Bible says. Is that right? Without one thing, come. Just come. So when you come to church, of course I don't mean you when you come to church that you don't want to clean up yourself this morning, you just don't comb your hair, you come. Okay, you come, it's alright. But we'll see how you look. People look at you. We want to come, at least dress proper. I don't want to expect you to dress like a beggar in the street unless you're really a beggar. And now I'm asking you to dress so richly. Right? You understand what I'm talking about? No. I don't ask you to wear coat. Now, I believe some of you might have coat. I only have one coat. Alright? When the coat is old, I get another one. I don't have two coats. Only have one. I only use it for the wedding. Okay? That's about it. Or when I go overseas, where you're in Europe, America, where they wear coats, so I have to bring a coat there. That's about it. So I don't wear it all the time. You see? You understand? So let us just don't get, as prime minister, don't get so upset with saying, oh, you look, you're poor or whatever it is, and you try to compete with charismaticism. The church out there, they have 10,000, 20,000 people. God is not in quantity, God is in quality. God is in His Word, He's not in what? In the church. He's in His own Word. He's never in the church, He's in His Word. If you don't have the Word, He's not there. Right? Okay. Alright now. So when we look at the Bible here, I talk about this bottomless pit. Remember one thing about it, the bottomless pit is not hell. Okay, the word bottomless pit is just a word that tells you that there's no foundation. It's a pit that came on falling into a hole. And nobody wants to fall into a hole. You understand that? It's a pit, bottomless. And it's not hellfire, it's not a lake of fire. But there are people that say that's the lake of fire, isn't it? Okay? So, when you talk about a pit, you always think, you know, in Singapore back before it is like what we have today. We have wild area, huh? In Singapore there's a lot of villages, okay? And I used to play out there. There's a lot of dirty ponds, you know? And sometimes there are pits where farmers would dig and throw rubbish in there. You understand? And when we talk about pit, it's always a place that is not clean. It's always this called pit. And the only thing is dirty and very diabolical. People set trap with the pit. They dig a hole in there, put some spike inside there, and they cover with leaves, so people will fall into, or animals will fall into, they get killed. You see? So this is describing something that is diabolical, which is, that is satanic. Because this star, the devil of heaven, is none other than Satan, who was given a key to impersonate, to build whatever he wants. So here is the power to counterfeit God's plan of salvation of plan for his people. And so Satan saw what God was doing, he impersonated. That's why whenever, now let me tell you this, Satan, he knows the Bible. He knows what was written. He was around and he heard this prophet prophesy, he heard the prophet prophesy. He knows. Do you understand? As long as something is said and uttered by God's prophet, he hears, he knows. That's why the seven thunders, which was shown to John in the vision, okay, that was not allowed to be written. You understand? And obviously, when it was not allowed to be written, John also zipped up his own mouth. He can't say what he heard. Or probably he heard it, but God just kind of erased from his mind, so he wouldn't know. You see, because whenever something that is written, something that is said by God's prophet or apostle, you can be sure that Satan knows that to be true, he will impersonate. He will try to do something about it. You understand? So he set around to sort of impersonate and create himself a great structure. It's always a big thing. It's always, to Satan, he always wanted big. Do you agree with it? And people who are fallen mankind, we also want things big. No? You want a big car, right? You want a big house too, isn't it? You want big money, don't you? When you go to Christabel, have a job, and those of you who are looking for a job, it's coming up to get a job later on, and Elsa, huh? So when you want to apply for a job, they ask you, what salary do you want? I want a big one. When you want to say, small one will do. You won't say that, will you? You want a big one, you want big. Everything that we want is big. Religious, everything that Satan is doing is big. But you know, in the church of God, it's not big. It's always little flock. Little flock. That's how God can perfect his thing. It's by small little assembly, but he sent them apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, right? What if you have 10,000, 20,000? Oh my. You think that it's possible to really deal with the soul and get them into the Word of God? You can't. You see, people want sensation. So Satan created all this, and the Bible said this bottomless pit. Remember one thing, as we study along, you see that the demons are coming out. And Satan is impersonating. In every way that God is doing in his real, true church. Okay? So, now, this bottomless pit holds all these fallen demons. It's symbolic of what we see in the Bible. Verse 2. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Now, he said, when you open the bottomless pit, there arose a smoke out of the pit, smoke. As the smoke of the great furnace, the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Now, this is a doctrine by itself, a teaching by itself, of what this whole thing means in my book called The Bottomless Pit. But we won't just go on deal with it. Remember what we read in the last two chapters of the book of Revelation, just now, those few verses about the glory of God and so on. If you go back into the Old Testament, how when God deal with the children of Israel, Now appeared a pillar of fire. In other words, it's called the glory of God, the presence of God. Daytime, it is a pillar of cloud. That shows the presence of God. In the night, it became a pillar of fire. Do you understand? That's the glory of God. That shows the presence of God. Here now, Satan is impersonating. That is what the vision John saw. Okay? Concerning this bottomless pit. You have this great smoke that comes out of the bottomless pit. It says smoke. It is a cloud. Smoke looks like a cloud, isn't it? You all agree with that? Far away, there's a smoke coming out from afar. It looks like cloud. Like a pillar of cloud, especially when it comes out like that. You understand? Yes, sure. You see. So, but you know that when this cloud of smoke come out, and it says here, the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Sure. If you have a thick layer of smoke coming out somewhere, it darkens the sky. It darkens the sun. And the air, you can't breathe. You agree? You understand that, don't you? Now, what does it show you here is that this is an impersonation. What? This is a picture, depiction of the work of Satan trying to create, in creating something that is an impersonation of God's real thing. Of the church, of the salvation of God, of the truth of God, of the glory of God. Do you understand that? Now, if you are, okay, now let me say this. Sometimes you have, when, I don't think you see this in Singapore, hardly yet you see it in Singapore, but in America, cold places, in the night when the air is cold and you get this fog. Sometimes we see, I'm going to call mist here. But sometimes you see this fog, they're moving like a thick cloud, isn't it? You understand? It's water vapor. Huh? It's a thick cloud. But at least you know it's there, but the air you could breathe. Is that right? In the cloud you could breathe. But when you have, if you have smoke, not cloud, smoke. Smoke comes from what? Comes from fire. And you burn fire, wood, whatever it is, it has these particles. And you cannot breathe in the smoke. That's why when there is a building on fire, you can get out, or else you'll be choked to death. Do you understand that? So what is it telling us? In the true cloud, the pillar of cloud, the glory and presence of the Lord, you can breathe, yeah. The environment is clean. It's filled with light. But in the smoke, you can't. It'll choke you to death. And the smoke darkens the sun to where there's no light. Sun represents the glory of God, the sunlight. So now what we have seen in denomination today, especially among charismaticism, we see all this forced image that is being shown. Even as we see now, Catholicism is embracing that charismatic speaking in tongues and so forth. Right? So by in the worship, is that real? Yeah, they shout hallelujah, they speak in tongues too, don't they? Yes. But the air, the atmosphere, is it true? The presence of God is there? Or are they choked with that smoke, the impersonation of Satan? So this is what we see as John saw. Yeah? Depicting to us what Satan did. Or what Lucifer did when he fell and became Satan, the adversary of God. And truly he began to create all these things. Alright, now let's go to the next verse. I want to skip a lot of things here, that the notes that I have. Now, the thing I want to say is this, that people generally are very religious. Right? People are generally very religious. But religion can take such a way that people can become very superstitious. Because religion is a lot of man-made things. A lot of tradition. Men say this. You agree, huh? Isn't that so? Yes. Become a lot of superstition. That's the reason why you see in paganism especially, the way that they conduct their worship. And even in Catholic Church, you see how they conduct their fellowship. You have candlelight. You have to bring a candlelight, bring some flowers and the holy waters. You touch the holy waters and you say your the sign of the cross, the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? That's all not in the Bible. They will approach the statue and they have a sin for everything. Sin for traveling, sin for sailing on the boat, sin for driving a car. Don't you know that? You know it's true. You see. And they got more sins created every time to replace one of the sins for computer too. You believe me? You see. Because there are all kinds of things that you go there, you touch the statue. Even in the Vatican City, the statue of Peter. Do you know that there's a statue of Peter? Worshipper went there, kissed the toe, and then the toe came off. literally worn out until it separated, so they had to fix a new one. Now the same thing in Branham Easel. Brother Branham's grave. You all remember Brother Branham's grave? People go there every Easter, I think it's every Easter, so waiting for the resurrection of Brother Branham out of the grave. And I don't know, somebody stole that eagle. It's a golden eagle, which is metal. Somebody took it out. Now they've replaced it, I think, with a wooden painted one in gold. People will do all that sort of thing. And I won't be surprised people will go to the tomb of Brother Branham and then lie down there, oh, Brother Branham, oh, Brother Branham. There are people just doing that. You know. So it's a religion is very scary, it's very traditional. Somebody says something, somebody do something, everybody impersonate and everybody do it. Now, you see the 21, 12, 12 is coming. 5 more days, right? You see today's paper? Oh, there's a brother in India wrote me, he's a brother guy. They said that they are, for 3 days there will be no light, no electricity, nothing on this earth. The whole sun will be, the sun will black out and so on. Is it true, brother guy? Is it true, please come? He wrote me an email, and today, as you can see, India, China, buying candles, selling candles. And you better go buy some candles too. Because the whole world is a blackout. And people, somebody started that, and the whole world, they grow nervous. They prefer to hear all this say so, rather than what the Bible says. You know. So you want to hear all this hocus pocus out there? You understand that? So, certainly this took a little bit of truth. Huh? So we know that the world is coming to an end. Christ is coming, right? That is true. So the other verse said, yeah, the world is coming to an end. You see the Mayan calendar? Yeah, you see it's coming. So you throw a little bit of truth and add something rubbish and then everybody just go to the wrong one. We have a whole lot of truth in the Bible and certainly have just a little bit. Or he just add a little bit and make you see something. But he add a whole lot of his. He could take you away from God. Do you see that? Alright. Verse 3. I wonder what happened to my verse 3. Oh, okay, yeah. Verse 3, 4, and 5, and 6. And that came out of the smoke, locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, for only those men who have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them was given that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as a torment of a scorpion when he struck a man. And in those days men shall men seek death and shall not find it. And shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And I think this is a very, very interesting fact. We all know the Bible here said that all the smoke comes from locusts. And unto them was given power, as a scorpion of the earth had power. Many say that scorpion has sting. How many of you have been stung by a scorpion? No. Okay, that's good. Because I can tell you that I was told it is burning hot. You will be jumping and jumping. It's terrible. depends on the, you know, the daily species. But it is really, really painful. You know. If you already have been bitten, let's say, by a bee or stung by a bee, huh? You know how sharp the pain is in that particular area. But the scorpion sting can make your whole body in that pain. Okay. Now, it says here, local Kamsa has a power of scorpion. It was commanded, they should not hurt the grass of the earth. Neither any green thing, neither any tree, only those men which have the seal of God. For that tells us, of course, that we know that this locust cannot be real locust. It's just an image where John saw a vision to depict something. And what does it depict? What does it depict? It depicts satanic work. Do you understand? It depicts satanic work. You see here, we know that when the locusts come upon the earth, real locusts, literal locusts, what is the work of a locust? He will eat up the life of the crop. Huh? Now we know the candleworm, the farmer worm, the caterpillar, the beetles or whatever that you find in plants. They will eat the plant, but they don't destroy the whole thing. Practically, huh? But locusts, when they come in group, they strip the whole field of it. They are gone. They are what we call destroyers. They strip the life, the stripper of life, that is to say. They are strippers of life. Whereas caterpillar are not. You know, or locusts are. And so the Bible here turns out using this locust spirit to depict satanic work, to depict the demons that come out to destroy life. You understand that? It's to destroy life. Now he says, they should not hurt the grass of the earth. Yeah, of course we know that if it's literal locust, it must destroy the grass of the earth. But it is not. So what does it say? Now he says, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those which have the seal of God in their forehead. Those who have not the seal of God in their forehead. So these are demonic, these are fallen angels who are released, okay, to torment, to destroy those who do not have the seal of God in their forehead. Do you understand? You understand? But they cannot touch the green. Of course, they are not real literal locusts. So what does the green represent? Huh? You see, verse 5. To them was given that they should not kill them, but that they should torment them 5 months. So, when the fourth trumpet is blown, the first war come out, and the fifth trumpet, this demon will be completely let loose. Now, we are seeing this bottomless pit already in action. We know what the bottomless pit really is. We know that it is satanic work impersonating God's true kingdom. Right? We see in the Catholic system, we see in today's modern neo-Pentecostalism, charismaticism. You understand? How that Satan impersonate all those things to deceive the people spiritually, to torment them in the spirit. Okay, so now we already see that in action. But when in the middle of the 70th week of Daniel, when they are released, it will be full force. It will go out there tormenting those who do not have the seal of God in their forehead. That is, those who have the seal of God in their forehead, they will not be tormented. Do you understand what I'm saying? Those 144,000 who have the seal of God in their forehead, right? Do you understand? Okay? And in those that men shall seek death. Or is it verse 5? And the torment was as a torment of a scorpion which struck a man. That means a torment spiritually painful. And also when they are spiritually painful, what is more painful? Is it when you are in torment? Whether if you are physically tormented and spiritually tormented, which do you think is more painful? Huh? Physically, your torment you can withstand, but the spiritual torment you can't, because of your uncertainty. What is coming? What is coming? You know what I mean? Your mind is always working out. What is coming? Where am I going to go when I die? What happened? This and that. So they have this torment, and he also said in verse 6, and don't say. Man shall seek death and shall not find, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. We know God sent His angel to minister to us. But these are certain angels that minister to men in that form, to torment them. Now you want to die, he said, okay, let me go to the higher spirit and jump down. And the Bible said, you know that they seek them, but they cannot find them. They go to them. How is the tallest being in Singapore? What is the tallest up there in... How tall is that building in the casino building? They are supposed to be the tallest in Singapore, right? 55. Oh, okay, 55 story, I have to go up there. You go to the edge, I want to jump. But you know what? As long as you want to jump, you go backwards. Okay? You know what I mean? Therefore, free from you. Yes, I want to jump. Okay, let me run. You can't, because something is holding you back. You know? Have you ever think about when you commit suicide then? Come back. Huh? Have you ever tried to be a hero? Have you ever tried to be a hero? Wanted to perhaps, let's say, take a bungee jump. Not from 20 story, but 55 story. That high. You think, okay, I can do that. You pay the man $200, you tie up, you go to the edge. You give up. You know what I mean? Is that something you want to do, but you can't do it? That will flee from you. It just measure how what kind of torment there is. When you're trying to say, I see, we see. Huh? You know, you want to find that, but that will not help you. That does not welcome you. You can't have it. Alright, so these are destructive, spiritual destruction of the Satan. Certainly work. Okay? Now let us go on. Well, let's go to the book of Matthew 15 and verse 7 to 9. Matthew 15, 7 to 9. You see, the thing that we need to understand is that people always should be reminded of God's word. You hypocrites! While the Isaiah prophesied of you, saying, the people draw nigh to me with their mouth, and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine is the commandment of men. So, now, just imagine that. This demon that comes up here. You know, they take certain form, and the form that they take is in the form of men. Just like, here we are. We are all filled with the Spirit of God. If you are born again, you are the Holy Ghost. Right? Isn't that right? And we have angels ministering to us. But here, this demon that comes out, they will also minister to men. Who do they minister to? They minister to this bunch of intellectual people. You know, with PhD, PhD, you know. People who think that they are super preacher. Because they have 10,000, 100,000 in an audience. You all know what I'm saying, huh? You see. They feel that they are very successful. That's what we are seeing in the anti-message. Ministers think that they can be successful because of what they see of those in charismatic season. You know. So if your congregation is small, you are not successful. You want to be successful? Then you have to preach the way the denominational charismatic people preached. Acting it out. Cutting back the truth. Satisfying, well, the carnality of the people. You see. Don't preach anything about holiness. Don't preach about holy living. Don't preach about how to dress simple and right before God. Let them dress like the world. Let them dress like Yeshua. Let them, cheat and lie. Don't preach against fornication. Huh? You see a businessman down there, and you know that he has been giving a lot of money in a tie box. Okay. And now you know that he has having an affair with somebody else. Okay, close one eye. Don't bring him out.
You see.
But it's not the way it is. If the minister do not condemn sin, do not preach the truth to hold the people about how they should conduct themselves. Every one of us is an example. You know that we are all witnesses? Yes. You set an example in the church. Sure. How you dress, how you behave is an example to others. Because if you do it wrong, the rest of them will follow you and you are answerable for it. Sure, isn't it? Do you understand that? That's what is happening about this polygamy effect. And it's going on all over in Congo and so many parts of the world. You see. And even now in the entire message, lots of it's in the young girls are just cutting their heads. Don't do it. You know. A preacher no more preaching. Don't talk about women. Don't preach about cutting hair. Let them cut their hair. They are only teenagers, it's okay. Teenager, how old is teenager? 22 years old, still teenager. 30 years old, still teenager. Cutting off their hair, yeah. Oh, you're young, that's all right, see how you dress, miniskirt, it's okay. Teenager. And you find that when you're 30, 40 years old, they still wear miniskirt. Skirt up just above the knee. Let us dress well because we need to present ourselves before the Lord. And what a vision the brother Branham saw. The bride wear dress in white. Beautiful. Cover up, long hair. If that vision of problem is shown that way, what are we to do anything otherwise? The vision represents the whole church. And your sister is, you represent the bride as well. It's important. Jessica will not be in heaven with all the lipsticks and all that. You know what I mean? All the color in the face with all the earrings and all the golds all dressed up. That's, you don't find that in heaven. You don't find anyone dressing that in heaven. That's why the UPC, they're very particular. Even the wedding ring is not even allowed. Wedding ring to us, you know, only a token on this one. That's all about it. We don't put one on this one here, this one, all five. All ten all here. And then even then, you know, hang it upon your ear, and then on your tongue, and on your nose. On your eyelids, you see all some of those people? That's demonic! The world has come to that state, brother and sister. Even the church, let us come to that place. We know we don't have much time. And we're looking towards the coming of the Lord. You know? And I see that a lot of end time believers, they have given up. They have given up the race. I'm still running in the race! Marathon. It's not a 100-meter dash. It's a long run. You still haven't finished. I have not finished running yet. I'm still running. And you're still gonna run. You understand that, huh? Alright. Let us continue here. So these are the Pharisees that now we look at Luke 11:52. These are the two verses I want you to look at. How Jesus rebuked them. He said, you hypocrite. Now in Luke chapter 11, verse 52. He said, war unto you. Ha! And you see the war that is coming? That's war unto you. Cursed you. Disaster fall upon you. Oh, calamity. War unto you. You lawyers, those people are exposed by expert in the law of Moses at that time. Of course, we talk about today's preacher. He's supposed to know the Bible. War unto you. For you have taken away the key of the knowledge. You enter not in yourself. And them that were entering you in, you hinder them. That's why my friend Peter Long. Huh? It's not important. This is not important. That is not important. How can you say that? It's in the Bible. If it's in the Bible, it is important. Who food washing is not important. Communion is not about leavened bread or wine. Is it really true? The Bible in the window is wine. It's not grape juice. We know that the bread is a leavened bread. It is not ordinary biscuit. You understand? Food washing. Jesus said, if I do it, you ought to do it one to another. Oh, no, it's okay. It doesn't mean anything. Really? Paul even said so. That it is important to do food washing. For those who are widows, you want to take it to church, make sure that she did all this. Right? What about baptism? And Jesus said, oh, it's okay. Just throw some water on your head will do. Really? The Bible said baptizo. It didn't say baptizo. Is it okay? You gotta take, that's not why, you know, when you take one word away, God says, I'm gonna take the name out of your book of life. You add to it, I'm gonna add the place to your life. If God said what he meant, he meant what he said. You can't run away. Now I believe God's gonna do it. You will think, he's full of grace, he's full of grace. I know he's full of grace. But don't take the grace of God for granted and make it into a disgrace. I've won it many times. People think you're very likely. If you don't understand some doctrine, that's okay. You understand, you're learning. But the things that are basic instruction, you better do. When God made us know to build the ark, simple instruction, right? The ark was built. Noah, take all the animals 2 by 2. And people are watching. Woo! How did he do that? You know, the Lord has to do that. Why the rain? Oh, where is there going to be rain? There's no rain. Don't you know? You dumb dumb. Water don't come from the top. Water come from the bottom. And all right, everybody laughs. Some of them, maybe it's true, you know. Their heart is palpitating. They're going to say, come on, don't be silly. That old man is silly. We've been, otherwise the water to say what? The door will left open for 7 days. Right? I don't believe there's any sign of clouds in heaven. Because why? The clouds are always there. Only not like what we have this cloud today, that dark cloud that's coming, right? 7 days. Ha! I said, no way. When 7 days is over, when suddenly the heaven strikes, boom! Right? Lightning strikes! And then the door slammed. Closed. Nobody closed the door. God did it. No one didn't pull it that close. God did it. It's too late for you now. The rain started to drop one by one. Those people saw that coming. It's too late. Open up, Noah! When the Bible said, when God opens the door, nobody shuts it. When God shuts it, nobody opens it. You understand? It's your salvation. I want to escape the wrath that is to come. Sure. I don't want to get into all that time when God is going to judge this world with all that he dealt when he dealt with Israel. See? So preacher, don't hinder, and none of you are hinder. Every one of us is a witness. We should give an account of our faith. If somebody asks you what you believe, you're going to tell them what you believe. You cannot run away from that. If you are ashamed of me, Jesus said, I'll be ashamed of you. Is that right? You deny me before man, I will deny you before my Father who is in heaven. That is what it is. Okay, now, when they go on, we see. Alright, we're just a little behind time. Yeah, just continue with that. And the Bible here said, in the book of Revelation, go back to the same chapter. The Bible said that this rogue had tails like scorpion and stinging their tail, and the power was to hurt them 5 months. Okay, let's go back, let's go to verse 7 now, anyway. You know, in verse 4, it's interesting here, I want to point out something. In verse 4, it says that it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth. Neither any green thing, neither any tree, but those men who have not the seal of God in their forehead. You know what are greens? Green means life. Right? Okay? So they cannot hurt those who are actually believers. They cannot. Those that are left, the foolish virgin that are left. Okay, they cannot destroy even the word of God. They cannot do anything to them. They cannot take away the word of God. That's a life to those people that still have it. Okay? Alright, so because we are believers, we are planted by the rivers of living waters. We are planted, we are growing up. Verse 17 and 9. And the ships of the Lord were like horses, prepared unto battle, and on their head was, as it were, crowns like gold. And their faces were as the face of man, and their hair as the hair of woman, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions, and their breastplate as it were the breastplate of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. They had tails like unto scorpion, and they were stinging their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. Now, the ship of the locusts were like horses preparing to battle. You know that. This is to say that this is a very quick and a fighting army of demons going to challenge God. So they all prepared themselves that way, and he said the head was as crowned like gold, which of course given them a false impression. Now we look at the theology, we look at preachers today in the system. Okay, you look at them because they are well dressed, they act like real preachers, right? And they have PhD, what did he do to their name? They look like they are anointed. The crown of gold, the head look like they are anointed. You understand? They're sanctified men, they're specially anointed. Do you understand that? And this is how the demon is challenging God, using creating impersonation of a church, a false church, with ministers, men that are not of God, but looks like they are God's men. Now, I look at all that's going on in Charismatic, Benny Hinn, and all these other false prophets out there. They all look like they are the real thing. Huh? Isn't it so? You see? And all the so-called signs and all that, all those are impersonated. They are all lies. They are all false. Emotion. Acting out. You see? So, with that what we see here then, that the Bible here say, and their face was the face of a man. Of course, obviously. Face, man showed intellectual. Remember the four beasts? Man showing intellectual face. Obviously, it means that it is a human being that Satan used in the system. Now, okay, let us go to the next verse. And they had hair as the hair of woman. You know what the hair of woman represents? Why must woman have long hair? The Bible said so. Why? Because to her is it given as a covering. Her glory. The hair of woman covering is to show her glory. And that's a weak Christian. What is the glory of God's word? What is the glory of God? It's His word. Is that right? The glory of God is His word. You see? So we need to be covered by the word. So this has a false impersonation, as if they look like they have the word of God. They don't. And the teeth were the teeth of lion, which of course to say they devoured. Their purpose is to lie to you, tell you all this false, give you all the false hope, false teaching, false faith that's not true to devour you. And their breastplate has a breastplate of iron. You know what iron stands for? Iron stands for strength. You know the rod of iron stands for authority. But they had a breastplate to protect them and show that they are strong, like a lion. Well, I'm going out there to challenge the people of Israel. It's alright, but what happened with one stone? Remember, no matter how you protect yourself, you know, strong and mighty, iron is strength. Big is good. Might. A little Goliath, but David, just one stone. All it takes is not to hit any of this area of the body protected. Just hit the forehead. Because all that Goliath had was his pride. Everything is in his head. Hit the head and he dies. Get at the head. And that's what we know, that is the reason why you need to cut off the head. Any system where there is a head, destroy the head and he dies. Alright, so this is what we see as being depicted. And then he says that tail like a scorpion, And the sting in the tail and the power to hurt men 5 months. The first 5 months, it's going to be very, very terrible for the people on this earth. Alright, so now, not as this, we see they have all this false protection, armor protection, but the Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians chapter 7 how that we should put on the armor of God, the word of God, the helmet of salvation, and so forth. Is that right? When we fight against Satan, remember Paul said, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are spiritual, to the tearing down of strongholds. What is the weapon? What is our weapon like? The weapon is the Bible, the sword of the Lord, remember? Huh? The shield of faith that we have in Christ's blood. The helmet of salvation. All that pertaining to what Christ did for us, has done for us, and the word that we receive has strengthened us to fight. Okay? Alright, let's continue quickly. And, okay, let me just go over to next verse. Okay, let's go to close down the next verse. Verse 11. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue have his name Apollyon. Abaddon is Greek, is Hebrew. Abaddon means that he is a destroying angel. There comes Abaddon, the destroying angel. But in the Greek word it says Apollyon, which means the destroyer who destroys utterly. He's not just a destroying angel, but he is one who destroys completely. And who is that? Of course, you should have seen it. He seeks to destroy the things of God. Right? Okay. Now he says here in verse 12, one war is past. Behold, there come two more wars hereafter. What is the second war? The first war come, that is, the demon are let loose, now going out in full force. But what we see is that it's already in the making. You understand? But it will go out in full force. So one war is already shown to John now. He said, one war is past, here comes the next one. The second war is in chapter 11. Let us read it. We're not going to deal with it because we have done it. Revelation 11, 7. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that I sent out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Gomorrah, Sodom in Egypt, which also our Lord was crucified. And there the people and the kindred and tongues and nations shall see their dead body 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in the grave. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them, and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. So now, the second war, the sixth trumpet that we can see, therefore, pertaining to that, is the killing of the two innocents. When the fourth trumpet is blown, woe comes. The sun's middle 1/3 of the day is darkened. Then immediately, the Bible shows us that now demons are let loose upon the earth. The first thing it does is Satan comes out, get the Antichrist, to kill, right? To kill the two witnesses. That is the second war. Because when Israel sees that, they run. They have to run. You understand? This will be the sign when the two prophets are killed. They have to run, flee from the Antichrist. You got it? That is the second war. Now, what is the third one? The third one is in chapter 12. Because in chapter 11, verse 14 says, the second war is past, and behold, the third war comes quickly. Remember, they killed the two prophets and they left the body there for 3.5 days on the earth. Later on, after the 3.5 days is over, they'll be resurrected. You understand? So, the second war is the killing of the two witnesses. Then Satan will incarnate himself in the Pope. And when Satan King Kali himself in the Pope, he was sitting in the temple to be worshipped. Now, it's the world. Verse chapter 12, verse 7 to 14. To 17. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angel fought against the dragon. Remember we studied that in chapter 12? And he prevailed not. In other words, their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceived the whole world, he was cast out onto the earth, and his angel was cast out with him. And I heard a great voice, loud voice in heaven saying, come, now come salvation and strength, and kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life unto death. Now will rejoice, ye heaven, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he know that he hath but a short time. When the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman who brought forth the man child. And to the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for the time, times and a half time, from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went on to make war with the remnant of the seed, which keep the commandment of God and have the testimony of the Lord. So Satan now is upon this earth now. That is the war. He is incarnate into sin, into the pope, and now he makes war with the woman Israel, the nation of Israel, and seeing that she was being helped, he turned against the remnant. And that is those leftover Jews, those foolish virgins, and whoever denominational Christian that left on earth, that they have to give their life as a martyr for Christ. In ending this, we call, first of all, Satan loose upon the earth to torment. Do you understand? Now, do you know that Satan is being held back? What Paul said in the book of Thessalonians? Because what? We are here. So Satan is held back. You understand? Until we are taken away. So until he that led will be let loose. Until Christ or the Spirit lift the church up, until he take the church up, he will not be allowed Satan to operate in full force. But once the church is gone, he will let loose. You understand? In the midst of the 70th week of Daniel. So the demons are let loose to torment the second war. The Antichrist will kill the two witnesses. And then the third war is Satan incarnate in the Pope. And that is what you don't want to see. Amen? Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for thy word. Take it, Lord, and break it down further to us. We commit the rest of the day to you, and we are truly, oh Lord, thankful for what you have shown us, oh Lord, in this last day. We commit all things to you today, in Jesus' name. Amen.